So when God says the heavens are higher than the earth, this is a call for humbleness. To say, your way, I'll do it your way. I'll do it your way, Lord. It's not popular, but I'll do it your way. I know I can trust you. You gave your son for me. I know I can trust you. The words were, had a wife and kid in Baltimore, Jack. So he left his kid and his wife. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. We want that. We want that. That God's word is going to go out. We want what he wants because he's Almighty God. He's the creator of our lives. He knows what's best for us. He's all wise and powerful. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Look at that and say, yes, this season that I'm facing, it's facing me with some challenges, but I trust you. I trust you with my life and I am going to see it through to the end because you're there for me. And Lord, let your word have its way in my life the way you purpose it. Wouldn't that be a great prayer?
Yes.
Today, take my life and fulfill in this life of mine today what you purposed for me to do today. That would be a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous way to take this verse and to put it into use to pray to God that way. Right? Not to go in the area of like, oh, another day. No. You've been given your life. You've been created for a purpose. God's word will not go back empty. Follow him and he'll see it through in your life. It opens up all kinds of possibilities, right? What happens at the end of this? For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Joy and peace are the things that we want, right? Isn't it? The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Yes, Lord. Why? Because of God's grace and work in our lives, and because of us living in a way that is obedient to him and believing that he has the best for us, and we're going to dedicate ourselves to it through those seasons. He takes what is dark and he makes it light. Takes the things that are sad and he makes them joyful. Instead of the thorn will come a cypress. Instead of a briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That's eternity. And so there are things, yes, we go through and we're thinking about these seasons of our life. One day the seasons are gone and we are only with him. Only one season is left, the presence of God forevermore, where there's no more crying, there's no more tears, there's no more death, there's no more sin, there's no more pain, it's gone. And that is what we live for, and that is what we believe in. Now I want to introduce another verse to you that we have often read in terms of the gospel. Okay? A person is introduced to Jesus, and they're told, if you believe in Jesus and you give him your life, and you say you're sorry for your sins, you will be forgiven of those sins through the blood of Christ on the cross, and you will have eternal life, right? But there is also something called discipleship in the life that we have here. And it begins, yes, with that moment where we say, I want you, Lord. I want to live for you, Lord. I want that which you have offered to me through your sacrifice on the cross. But Jesus said these words, and I want us to look at these in this way today, in a completely new way, but not new in the sense that it was something God made new, but that it's new to me. Okay? And I feel that God wants us to look at this in a new way in our seasons. Jesus said, For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What we want to do is we want to transfer that moment where we say, okay, I'm going to lose my life. I'm going to say I'm going to be a Christian now. I want to follow Jesus, and I want to do that in this moment. I want to be a Christian. I want to follow him, and now take that and put it down the road in your life. You've lived 3 months, 4 months, or whatever, how long it's been, and you face something in your life, and then you apply this again. Whoever would lose his life will save it. Whoever would lose his life will save it. You come to a place, and I've been in this place, and I can tell you stories about it if you want to hear them someday, when you feel like, this is the road I'm going on, and I want that. And that's before me, and it looks really good, and I'm excited about that. I didn't have been trained in college for it. I have been educated in this, and I know that my purpose, people have told me I have talent in this kind of way, and I want to pursue that. And then comes a time where God says, no, I have another purpose for you. I have another direction for you. I have something new. I have something great for you in mind. What do you do at that time? God is saying to us, lose your life and you will gain it. That is what happens. We face things that we want more than anything else, and those things become our God. They become the thing that we identify ourselves with, and we feel like, at all costs, I have to have that. And then you know what often happens? They don't pan out. And people start to feel like, ah. And they forgot God. They don't remember their Creator. They don't remember that Almighty God is greater than all the things that are going on in the world, and He just told us that I have a purpose for you in your life. And you can trust me because I gave my life for you. You can trust me with your life. Give it to me, and you will have the great things that I have in store for you. They won't fit into what you're thinking of, but yet I am there with you in that moment, and I want you to lay that down. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's not just a conversion time. It is that. But it is a seasonal time for us to apply it to those times when we get into a new season and say, what do you want me to do? I will do it. I really like that. And everybody's telling me that that's the right thing for me, and it seems like, oh, that's what I've been living for. And Jesus is saying to me, lay it down. This is where I need you to go. This is what I need you to do. You need to trust me in this with all your life. I need you to take it. I need you to put that into my hands, because you can trust me that it's going to be the best thing for you. I know you. I love you. I have the best thing in mind for you. Give me your life. That's the way we approach seasons. What would you have me do in this season, Lord? It doesn't make sense to me. This is really hard for me. It's tough for me. This is not what I was planning on doing. This is not what I had in mind when I got into this. Okay, I'll trust you. I want to share with you just briefly some things from a person that I have gained got a lot from in my life. And her name is Amy Carmichael. You know Amy Carmichael? She's a missionary to India. She left Ireland and she went to India and she never went home. She never went home. She stayed in India her entire life, dedicating herself doing what? What was she doing with her life? Studying, making economic, you know, change in the world and bringing about all these great things like that. She went there because God called her out of Ireland, and she went to save children from prostitution. She went there and she put her life on the line and she fought for justice for children that were ripped from their poor families, who had no choice but to give up their children into prostitution, and they went and they served people sexually for their favors in temples. And she wouldn't stand for it, and she went in there with the power of God, and she saved children from the grips of all this prostitution, and she brought them into a place that she formed an orphanage so that they would grow up to have a life of value. Was it easy? Was it flashy? People wanted to kill her. That's how evil the world is, right? And she lived there for many years, and then this person, what happened? That she, like Enoch, went walking up into heaven without dying? No. She injured herself by walking the wrong way, stepping into a hole in the wrong way, and she was bedridden for the rest of her life. Bedridden in the rest of her life. And she never stopped. She never stopped serving God. She went through that season with her eyes on Christ, and she wrote things to people who had similar painful experiences to help them through and to let them know that the season may come in that kind of way, but God has a way of using it for his glory. And you read her books, and there's this person who is incredibly kind and very wise. So let me, you mind if I share you some of the things that she wrote? She wrote this in a, Candle in the Dark was one of her books. And she wrote this while she was lying in her bed, not able to move. She was frustrated. Believe me, she was very frustrated by all of that. She didn't understand it. But she used it for an opportunity to help people to become disciples of God. And in one of her books, this book, she wrote a chapter on discipleship. And discipleship has been on my mind for all of us to explore more and more in our church so that we can really be disciples and grow disciples, make disciples, just as Jesus commanded us, right? So listen to what she has to say about this. For a disciple, the best training is to learn to accept everything as it comes. Take that in. The best training is to learn to accept everything as it comes, as from him whom our soul loves. The tests are always unexpected things. So if you're youth, if you're young, or when you're old, there are going to be times that you're tested as a disciple. And they come in unexpected ways. And so she says this, it's a very good thing to learn to take things by the right handle. An inward complaint is a devastating thing. This is a person who knows what she's talking about, right? She went through this great pain. I expect you know this, and we all do, but it is extraordinary how the devil tries to get us on the ordinary road of life. But all is well if only we are in Christ. Deep in Christ, and he in us, our daily strength and joy and song. She says, the devil comes and paints glorious pictures of what might have been. You could have been doing this. You could have been doing this. All of that. You gave it all up for what? A God who allows you to be in a bedridden for 20 years, give it up. You could have had all these other things. Isn't it true, brothers and sisters? Isn't that true? Have you had that? I've had that. What could have been? Oh, I could have had this and that. But it's a lie, because life is more complicated than that. We don't know what was going to happen. We don't know. And that's why God is using her to teach us these things. He paints glorious pictures of what might have been. He did it to me, she said. I can see those pictures still. But as we go on steadfastly obeying the word that compelled, we do become aware that it is all worthwhile. We know it. We know him with us. And that is life. Listen to the wisdom of a woman who believes in Jesus Christ. Listen to a woman who understands that there is pain and there are hardships in life and there are seasons. But she is teaching disciples to believe and hold on to the belief. Remember their creator in all things. one last thing on this one section she said was, if there are fogs on the sea on any day or night, all is still well because of Jesus. If there's fog on the sea on any day or night, all is still well in Jesus. And so the answer for the person who asked, how do I navigate new seasons in my life? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He navigates through the fog. He navigates our life through the fog on any day or night. Doesn't matter when it is. Doesn't matter whether it's winter, spring, summer, or fall. He will navigate your life. You can trust him. Another word from her. Give yourselves wholly to your Lord to be prepared for whatever he has chosen for you to do. It's not limited to people who are fit. It doesn't have anything to do with your circumstances. Be prepared for whatever he has chosen for you to do. And if you have that, then you can get through anything. Jesus' purpose in your life and knowing that in him, no matter what is going on, I know that he is at work in my life. He is going to use me for his glory. That's what the Bible teaches us. One last one. In your suffering, Jesus, your Lord, can enter into even this with you, and he does. And if he calls you into a new fellowship with him, he refers to it as, right? A season of fellowship, a new one with Jesus. In his suffering, a new season, a new fellowship with him in his suffering, I know that you will not draw back. She's encouraging people not to give up. I know you will not draw back. You will not go away from him. You'll go forward with the promise that he's going to use you. And listen to these words. Across the will of nature leads on the path of God. Not where the flesh delights, the feet of Jesus trod. O Jesus, thy care is not to make the desert a waste no more, but to keep our feet lest we miss the track where thy feet went before. And what she means by that, everyone, is that Jesus is not going to take care to remove all the desert and these things in front of us that are causing us pain. But he is going to make sure that our feet are walking in his footsteps as he leads us forward. Yeah. We have a God who cares about us and gave us our lives. We've learned that there are seasons. There are seasons that we go through. But he is steadfast in his love and his faithfulness to you. There will be tests in our life, but he is going to see us through those tests. We need to believe that his strength is greater than anything that can be in this world. And have faith in him that he's going to use us for his glory, no matter what situation we face. We also remember that in the Bible it talks about remembering our Creator. And so I just want to urge the young people to do that. Well, if you speak with any one of us who are older than you are, we will tell you how difficult it is to navigate a season in your youth. Right? Am I right?
Yep.
But God will see you through it. He will see you through it. He's going to pour his love into you. He's going to discipline you. He's going to test you. You're going to go through things that are coming at you from the devil, and he's going to try to throw you off and convince you otherwise and make you feel like there's no God. Just go ahead and do whatever you want. Don't you dare listen to that voice. And God is going to bring people into your life from the kingdom of God, from the family of God, that are going to assist you. You only need to open your eyes and accept them and receive it. And thank God for them. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your parents. Even when they say and do things that you don't like, thank God for them. Devote yourself to doing the things that please God. And the most important thing for all of us is we're going to sing a responsive hymn now.